Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Police Questioning and Self-Incrimination Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 17, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Salinas v. Texas. This case considered whether and under what circumstances a petitioner who refused to answer questions from officers before he had been arrested or read Miranda rights was protected by the Self-Incrimination Clause of the Fifth Amendment. By a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the lower court denying the petitioner's Fifth Amendment claim, but without a majority. Justice Alito announced the judgment of the court and delivered an opinion joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy. Justice Thomas filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, which was joined by Justice Scalia. Justice Breyer filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan. To discuss the case, we have Kent Scheidegger, who is the legal director of the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Scheidegger.
On June 17th, the United States Supreme Court decided the case of Salinas versus Texas. The question was whether a prosecutor can comment on the fact that a person who was suspected of a crime, but has not yet been arrested, was silent in response to a question by the police. The divided opinion affirmed that the comment was proper in the circumstances of this case, but it left some important questions unanswered. Salinas was suspected of the murder of two brothers, who had been shot with a shotgun in their apartment in Houston, Texas. He agreed to go to the police station. The case was litigated on the assumption that he had not been read his Miranda rights, although that may not be correct. He answered a number of questions posed by the investigating officer. However, he was silent when asked if the shell casings at the murder scene would match the shotgun that his father had handed over to the police earlier that day. The officer testified that he looked down at the floor, shuffled his feet, bit his bottom lip, clenched his hands in his lap, and began to tighten up. Salinas answered further questions after this question. The Supreme Court has never squarely addressed the question in this case, but there are a number of precedents around the edges. Almost 50 years ago, in the case of Griffin versus California, the court established that when a defendant does not testify at trial, that fact cannot be used against him. Similarly, a footnote in Miranda versus Arizona states that if a suspect in custody invokes his right to remain silent or simply stands mute, that fact may not be used as evidence against him. On the other hand, the court has held in a number of cases, including Jenkins versus Anderson, that when a defendant does testify, a prior failure to speak may, if probative, be introduced for impeachment. The 1976 case of Doyle versus Ohio, the Supreme Court disapproved the use of post-arrest silence even for impeachment, but that holding was based on a due process rationale that the use contradicted the assurance given by the Miranda warnings, not that the use violated the self-incrimination clause of the Fifth Amendment. Finally, in cases involving Miranda's rule that police must cease questioning of an in-custody suspect if he invokes his privilege, the court has held that he must expressly make that invocation. Just 3 years ago, in the Tompkins case, the court held that silence alone was not an invocation of the privilege. These various precedents produce many facets to this case and many ways to define the question. Is this a case about comment on invocation of the privilege? A case about whether the suspect invoked the privilege? A case about whether there is a privilege to answer some questions and not others, or a case about whether a privilege not to be compelled to be a witness is really a right to remain silent in the first place. Justice Alito, writing for the three-justice plurality, saw this as a case about invocation of the privilege. Criminal defendants have an absolute right not to testify at trial, but in most other contexts, the privilege must be invoked to apply. Justice Alito declined to create a new exception for this situation. The Griffin rule, therefore, does not extend outside of trial without an express invocation of the privilege. The plurality opinion notes the important government interest in law enforcement, and he is reluctant to expand privileges that impair that interest beyond their presently recognized scope. Justice Thomas, joined by Justice Scalia, would cut the Gordian knot by simply overruling Griffin. Comment is not compulsion. Griffin has no basis in the text or history of the Fifth Amendment, and it should simply be overruled. Justice Breyer, writing for the four dissenters, would extend Griffin to this situation. He finds Salinas' non-response to be an implicit invocation of the Fifth Amendment. He notes that it is unrealistic to expect a crime suspect without counsel to invoke the privilege in precise terms. So what is the law? The Supreme Court said in Marks v. United States, that when there is no majority opinion, the holding is that of the opinion concurring on the narrowest grounds. The Marx rule is often difficult to apply, but not here. The plurality opinion says that comment on pre-arrest, unmirandized silence does not violate the Fifth Amendment when the suspect did not expressly invoke the privilege. The concurrence says that comment on silence does not violate the Fifth Amendment under any circumstances. The plurality is clearly the one on the narrower grounds. Unanswered, for now, is what would happen in a case such as this if the suspect answered questions but expressly invoked the Fifth Amendment in response to one question. Salinas holds that express invocation is a necessary condition to apply the Griffin rule here, but it does not resolve whether it is sufficient. Salinas also does not decide whether the suspect's body language in response to the question, as opposed to the refusal to answer, would be a proper subject for comment. On the other hand, the defense would likely try to distinguish a case where the suspect refused to speak to the police at all, as opposed to refusing to answer a single question in the course of a voluntary interview. The Salinas plurality's logic would seem to indicate the same result, but a future court might find the distinction sufficient to reach a different result. As so often happens, we will have to wait for these answers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.